All right, welcome to another episode of The Breakdown. We took a couple weeks off, but we're back at it.
Back in full force. Yep. Can't wait. Yes, missed the podcast, and we had a week off here and there, and we started a new series, and so here we are, back at it. I think I was on vacation in there somewhere, spring break for everybody. So
we had Easter, and then we had a guest speaker that came and spoke, and so we just decided to wait until we start a new series and get back at it, and we're here.
Sorry to all of our loyal listeners. And viewers, we apologize for the break, but we are back and fully committed to the pod.
Yeah, and we have a fun series called Why Church.
Yes.
And so that's what we'll be kicking off today talking about. And so we'd like to start out with a question, kind of a little icebreaker.
Yep.
I was thinking about the church. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about some funny aspects of it, some not so funny things. And so I thought we would do kind of like a Family Feud style of songs that you've heard that make you go, right? And so these, I was kind of thinking in my head, these can be VBS songs.
Sure.
These can be like hymns or maybe more contemporary songs that you're like, I don't know about that song. Or what does that mean? So I've obviously had time to think about this.
Yes.
Because I make these questions up.
Okay.
So I'll begin.
Yep.
My first one is a VBS song.
Okay.
I've never understood the song, Father Abraham.
Yeah.
You know, Father Abraham has many sons.
Right.
Many sons. As Father Abraham, I am one of them, you are too. So let's all praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Let's do these silly motions like left arm, right arm, this 10-minute song that never ends.
Yes.
I have never
It's a way to work in theology, man. That's an amazing song. We recognize that we are all children of the promise, right?
Okay.
So now all the silliness that surrounds it's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
I got no logical, response to any of that. But
I used to wonder if I was Jewish. Like,
right.
Am I related to the person next to me? Yeah, as a kid, I had no idea what that meant.
No, that's good.
No clue.
That's good. There's a lot of songs. I don't know that I'm going to remember them all, but the one that gets awfully debated in the relatively modern world of Christian, worship music is the Sloppy Wet Kiss.
I didn't even think about that one. Oh, I hadn't thought about that in a while.
What is the name of that song?
The David Crowder song. Well, How He Loves. It's
How He Loves Us. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep. So, many churches, and I think including this one, we edited that. And I don't even remember what we edited it to, but we
So there's two versions of that one.
Okay.
There's Unforeseen Kiss, and then there's Sloppy
Right.
Wet Kiss.
Yeah, I think we just did Unforeseen Kiss. Yeah.
And that's what David Crowder does. Now, John Mark McMillan says Sloppy Wet Kiss in his.
I mean, it's just an interesting lyric, right, in a worship song. So, that would be mine.
At least one of them. That's on the verge of Song of Solomon territory.
Yeah, man.
There.
Yeah, that's
can't
right.
Be stumbling.
Save that one for the marital retreat.
Yeah. My other one is a hymn. We sang this song every now and then growing up. And finally, after one Wednesday night, I asked my dad, what in the world does this song mean?
Yeah.
But it's a balm in Gilead.
Right.
But I thought it was a bomb in Gilead. And I said, why are we talking about like terrorism in church?
Yeah, you're thinking about like modern day,
Because I was pretty young whenever I asked that. So I obviously wasn't reading the hymn. I just sang from, memory.
Yeah.
My dad was like, no, it's a balm.
Balm.
In Gilead.
In Gilead. It's where annunciation is important to kids. Yeah, the other thing I think about, and I don't have a specific song for this, but I always think about people that are really, really new to Christianity or to the church, and them coming in on a Sunday where we're singing a song that is very blood-drenched.
Hmm.
So, nothing but the blood, these kinds of things. What
Sounds
can wash away
cultish.
My sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, which, of course, is a powerful song and a powerful hymn of the faith. And so before anybody writes me any nasty emails, I don't have any problem with the song, but I just think about the people that don't understand the theology behind that and start to think, why all the singing about blood? And
I've never thought
this
about that.
This doesn't make
before.
Sense. And of course, you get an opportunity to explain the why behind that as you proclaim the gospel, but not until you do. Otherwise, it's that would be a little discombobulating for the person hearing it for the first time.
I can definitely see that.
Yeah,
some of the VBS songs that I think about, I said, man, they set me up for poor theology. And then as you get older, then you understand them.
But. Well, I mean, when I was doing youth ministry and doing kids ministry at the same time, we did Baby Shark, you know, way back in the day. Like, we would do the Baby Shark.
I mean, it's resurfaced. Yeah.
Right, that's what I hear. Yeah. But, you know, I was doing that with guitar and my kids in church in, like, the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the late 90s. But,
Baby
yeah.
Shark.
But we did all kinds. I used to do that's a game. So that's not that wasn't a song. So anyway, we've done all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Just a way of it.
It's interesting. I enjoy music. And there's some things, though, that as the church body, we do. And to the visitor would seem weird. But to us, it becomes a norm. Like Father Abraham was the norm.
Right.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus was a norm for us singing that. And so in this series, we're not really trying to convince people, but to remind people of why we need the church.
Right.
Why is it so important?
Yeah.
And so this first part was called Faith Together. Give us a little synopsis of what you preached on Sunday.
Yeah, really at the heart of this message was why church, being involved in church as a family, because, you know, one of the things Abby and I talk a lot about is people will say, like, where do you go to church? Or people will say, we go to Galilee.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like that. She's very much like, you know, we are a part of the family at Galilee, or we worship together with the Galilee church family. But we don't go to church, of course, because we are the church.
Absolutely.
So it is about establishing that idea of the church is us and we are the church wherever we go, right? And yet, it's so critical that the church gathers, and that gathering matters. The in-person attendance, and more than just attendance, the in-person participation is the word I was looking for, that we get to partake in every Sunday, that matters. And it matters not only to us, but our participation on a given Sunday matters to other people, maybe in ways that we don't fully appreciate. So that's really kind of where we went with this one in general.
I loved the beginning. And I kept thinking, I kept hearing like the old people in growing up where the pastor would start something and it would be like really strong and directed. And they're like, oh, you meddling, pastor, you meddling. Mm-hmm. And you meddled, which
meddled.
I think it was a perfect point to begin with, because you talked about how being a part of that family on a Sunday is so critically important.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do church on the boat. You can't do church on the mountainside by yourself. Like, being a part of the congregation matters.
Mm-hmm.
And you said this, there's this idea where we confuse creation and the misorderings, the gift and blessings of the wonderful Creator. So you said that creation is a beautiful gift given to us by God, but we shouldn't worship the creation. We should worship the Creator.
It's meant to be enjoyed. It's not meant to be the object of our worship or what our worship looks like, right? Because, well, quite frankly, then obviously it's become an idol. You know, it doesn't look like a golden calf, you know, where we've melted down some stuff and formed it into a golden calf, but it is a golden calf. It just doesn't take that shape.
And somebody actually commented on our reel that we posted this week. I posted that particular quote that you had and talked about even how the church can become the idol. Like, Jesus has created the church for good means, but that in and of itself, it can be worship.
Sure.
And I believe you see that today whenever you have some of these guys who are leading these churches fall away or sin or something like that, and people's faith are wrecked.
Yep.
Because their faith was in the church. They worshiped the church.
Very true.
And so we looked at Acts 2:42 of how the early church, what they did, and they devoted themselves to teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer.
Yeah, that's their mission statement, right? That's their purpose statement. This is what they were about. This is what they did. This is why they gathered and what they did when they gathered. And it's what we still do today, 2,000 years later.
That's what we did Sunday.
If we gather.
Yeah.
Right. If we're gathering. And if we aren't, then we aren't participating in the Lord's work like we see reflected in the early church. Mm. You know, it's just as simple as that. You can talk about all the reasons from little Jimmy's baseball game to, you know, sitting on the boat or taking the hike or, you know, you just needed a day or whatever. And look, you know, I'm a person who's understanding of people take vacations or people, you know, just have a rough day. And these things happen from time to time. I'm not one to drop a hammer on anybody over that kind of a thing. That the hard truth is that people allow one Sunday like that to become much more than just one.
It becomes a habit. It
becomes a habit. Mm-hmm. You can very easily get out of the habit of gathering with the body of Christ. Mm. And it is something we have to guard ourselves against. And, you know, it's interesting when you think about, because I started off the message talking about COVID season, you know, and the things we learned about gathering and how we long to be together. And we had all of these kind of alternatives from parking lot church to preaching from windows to, you know, online church and all of these other kinds of things that were necessary tools in a time when they, you know, it was just what we had to do, what we felt like was best for us to do. But we found them all lacking because what we wanted was to be with one another. What we wanted was that togetherness that could only happen if, oh, by the way, we were actually together.
Yeah.
Right?
No, and I got a little smile whenever you read Acts 2:42, specifically on the fellowship part.
Right.
Because Sunday we had our welcome brunch, and I was asked by somebody who had signed up, and they're like, what is the purpose of this?
Yeah.
So just the fellowship.
That's it.
Just to get to know one another. There's something about fellowship that is encouraging.
Yes.
The early church did it. And Sunday, whenever everyone was fellowshipping, I got to eavesdrop on conversations. And the conversations that were being had were encouraging.
Yes.
Oh, we have this similarity, this life story that we can encourage one another with. Mm-hmm. And there's one specific person, I'm not going to say their name, but they encouraged me with how open they were about their life.
Yeah.
And I would not have thought that they would share at something like that. And so it was really cool to see that interaction, because as we'll talk about later, that could have been the encouragement for that person that day,
right,
to be spurred on towards Christ. Yeah. And I love seeing it.
Well, that's why, you know, we talk, and I don't know how much I'm going to jump out in front of you on this, but, you know, we talked about being known. Mm-hmm. And how critical it is that we are known, and that's an important part of the fellowship that we share as the body of Christ. You know, I said in the message, you can come to Galilee and decide to not be known. You can sneak in and sit on the pew and avoid people and sneak out right as the service ends. And the truth is, we very likely will not get to know you if you do that. If you're pretty good at it, you'll get around Brennan.
Yeah.
Brennan's, he's got the eye out for you. I do too, but he's better at it than I am. And so, you know, he'll catch you most of the time. But you know, if you're pretty good, you can get around him. But that's no way to be a part of the church. Mm. You know,
you're missing out on a lot of blessings.
Yeah, you're just auditing church at that point.
Yeah.
You know, like you audit a college class. Like you're not really getting any credit for it. It's not really real. It's just kind of you sort of listening, being there, and then you're going on with the rest of your day, and you don't have to have any other connection, commitment, people know you, share stories, any of the above, any of that, right? That's not what church is supposed to be.
No, you're missing out on so much, because I believe the safest place to practice the knowledge that we come to know from a Sunday or from our studying is in the church. It's the safest place to practice grace, forgiveness, patience, because when we mess up, we have that commonality, which we'll talk about in a little bit, of Jesus.
Right.
And so the text from your sermon was Hebrews 10:19-25, and I just want to quickly read it, because I believe that there's some gold in here that I think we could spend multiple podcasts on, but we'll get to what you talked about. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Just that right there is amazing, because the holy place was a place that no one could enter, that no one was worthy of entering except once a year, where the priest had to prepare himself to enter. And now we get to enter it.
That's right.
Through Jesus. By a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Mm-hmm. So this first point that you made was together we share in Jesus.
Yeah.
There's a commonality.
Yeah, that's the thing that brings us together. And, you know, you can't discount that of what the power of Christ does to bring just regular people together, to be the church, you know. And the fact, and you kind of referenced this, that, you know, he says that we're brought together by the curtain that is Jesus's body. Well, remember, the curtain in the temple was what separated you from the Holy of Holies. And so you could not go behind the curtain. Only the chief priest could, and only once a year.
Yeah.
And after quite the ritual of cleansing, could even he go behind it, right? And if he messed up even the least way, he'd be struck down.
Yeah, he tied a rope around himself just in case he could be pulled out.
Right, and if he died because he went in there and did, you know, they'd be able to drag his dead body out. I mean, it's serious stuff.
Yeah.
And the idea here that Jesus has torn down that barrier between us and the Holy God and created a way for us to have connectivity to him, but also to one another. And, oh, by the way, we don't have to go to a temple to get that. Oh, okay, well then, Nick, well then why do you have to go to a church? Because this is what Jesus told us to do, and this is what Jesus founded in his name, right? This is what he set up for how the body of Christ would come together and be encouraged and be taught and be directed, right?
Yeah.
That's why. But the beautiful thing is we come together without fear. We come together under that same banner of Jesus. You know, it's the old VBS song, his banner over me is love.
Yeah.
Well, it's true, right? So, yeah, anyway, I think that one's pretty self-explanatory if you really think about it.
Yeah, I think the next one is one that I think maybe have kind of caught people off guard. We need the church to cleanse our conscience.
Yeah, that's right.
I think it's just an interesting phrasing because it's not something we often think about.
Yes. Yeah, I was really intentional about, you know, this. It's not the church that, you know, the idea that you're gonna, well, I hadn't been to church in a while, I need to cleanse my conscience, or, you know, I've got some level of guilt and so I need to cleanse my conscience. My point in that was that when we gather as the church, it's a time for us to check our heart. You know, whoever the Christian comedian is, it says, check your heart, bro. That's a time for you to check your heart. Uh-huh. And you really think like, okay, where am I with the Lord? Most people live their lives at a breakneck pace, and they don't even slow down long enough to examine, like, how am I doing in my walk? How am I doing in my obedience to Jesus Christ? When we gather as the church on a Sunday, when we break the bread of communion, when we have those moments of peace and silence and quiet to consider where our heart is, if you're taking that seriously, if you're taking that time seriously, every single week you are examining yourself.
Yeah.
You're cleansing your conscience. So that's what I meant.
Hmm. Yeah, I like what you said about how we live such a fast-paced life that when we come to church on a Sunday and on a Wednesday, we get to stop.
Right.
And we truly get to look in the mirror of what we should be using scripture, preaching, worship. We get to pause and remember who Jesus is and align our life back towards that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think through that, we receive, I'm going through Psalm 51 tonight, and it's this psalm of penance of David right after he sins with Bathsheba. He's hurting.
Right.
He sees the sin in his life, and there's a weightiness to that. And he proclaims the truth of who God is, that he is a merciful and loving God, and he asks for forgiveness. I believe that coming to church, hearing the word, worshiping God, allows us to see our sin, to confess, repent, and then to live in the mercy and grace that that God has given us through Jesus. And so that's kind of how I was viewing that, is oftentimes because we live such a fast-paced life, we don't take that opportunity.
Yeah, and people will say, well, yeah, but I mean, I pray during the week and, you know, I'm in my Bible or whatever, and that's great. But lots of times your prayer life is you asking for stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. It's not necessarily a time of repentance, like an intentional time of really examining where your heart is and what do you need to lay before the Lord and ask for forgiveness of. So again, that gathering and that weekly time of communion is partially a time for us to cleanse our conscience before the Lord and get back on the quote-unquote straight and narrow.
Yeah. I like number three, to hold on to hope.
Yeah.
We need to be reminded, and I believe that's why I love communion every week, is because we are forgetful people in need of that reminder of where the hope lies in our lives, and that's in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, together, you know, we are holding on to the hope that is in Jesus Christ, and we are, you know, advocating for one another and recognizing who he is and what he's done for us, and that our hope is in the Lord. So, absolutely.
And that fellowship aspect of knowing what's going on in other people's lives, seeing them there on a Sunday or Wednesday, seeing them worship, seeing them take communion, to me, man, that gives me hope, because they know what's going on in my life too. The good, the bad, the ugly, seeing them there is encouraging.
Absolutely.
It helps me to hold on to hope. The next thing is we get to do good together. We get to serve one another. We get to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I like doing that.
Yeah, you know, it's not like we're not earning our salvation through that, but boy, it's important that we encourage one another to live for the Lord and to serve in the name of the Lord and to let people see our light shining before men that they might glorify our Father in heaven. Yeah. Those are the kinds of things we're supposed to be encouraging one another to do. You know, the world is out there living for itself, living to take care of me and mine. And the church is there saying, okay, how can we serve you? Yeah. How can we bless your family? How can we help you see the way that Jesus has changed our family? And not just like my individual blood family, but the way he's changed this collective family to make us more like him. Like, we're different people because we know the Lord, or at least we should be.
Absolutely.
Right? And collectively.
Yeah.
This collection of people should be different collectively because of our relationship with Jesus than we would be if you just stuck us all in a room outside of the knowledge of Christ. And I expect that we are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's what people should see, you know, both in us individually and in us collectively. They see a group of people that's different because they know Jesus. Mm. That's what we're supposed to be doing together.
Yeah. There's transformation when you know Christ.
Right.
We do some things here to encourage one another to do these things, like connect groups.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of weeks ago, and maybe it was a month or two ago, that you gave the challenge to get to know somebody, like to go out of your way and to connect with somebody you wouldn't normally connect with. Mm-hmm. I think whenever you come to church late or sneak out early, you miss this opportunity to encourage people. Stick around, talk.
Yes.
It's okay if we turn the lights off on you.
Yes.
Go outside and talk.
Totally fine. Yeah, it's not dark in the foyers, and it's not dark outside. There's plenty of space and time. You know, the doors lock behind you when you leave, so you just hang out and talk as long as you want. It'll lock. It'll be okay.
That's one of the things I remember from my childhood. We would get there 30 minutes early, and we would leave probably an hour. Especially on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
We would just hang out and talk. Or we would take that conversation along to the McDonald's down the street.
There you go, yeah.
That was so much fun.
That's good.
I loved that. Even as a kid, to hear, as I got older, hear the grown-ups talk and to be a part of those conversations. Like, that encouraged me in my walk to see that, hey, they don't have it all together, and they're open and honest about it.
Right.
But they still hold on to hope in Jesus.
That's it.
That's good. The last one, you talked about meeting together. It has value that we can't do this alone. Like, Jesus didn't expect us to do that. He created the church in order for us to do that collectively.
That's right.
That one's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. You know, the whole COVID thing, right? We really saw two different things happen. We saw people, well, we saw one very big thing happen to everybody. They couldn't physically go to church mm-hmm. for some amount of time. Depending on your church, that's varying degrees of the length of time.
Yeah.
Couldn't go physically to church. People came out of that in one of two, really one of two ways. Mm. Either you came out of that hungry to get back, or you came out of it saying, well, you know, I filled up that time with things I enjoy doing, and so I'm just going to do those things.
Yeah.
And they lost the passion for gathering. Mm. They literally became the people that the author of Hebrews is talking about there.
Yeah.
That, you know, you become like those that have gotten out of the habit of being and gathering together. And as we try to establish in the message, it matters. No matter what foolishness you might have thought in your mind or somebody has said to you about, yeah, well, you don't really need to go to church.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, again, I've heard that a lot through the years. And I just always kind of shake my head at it and say, well, yeah, you don't need to go to church. You know, as long as you feel like you got all this and you can handle it all by yourself, yeah, you'd probably be just fine. But oh, by the way, let me let you know that ain't gonna last long, right? You might make it a few days on the desert island. You'll probably live for a little while. But at some point, you're going to wish some other people were around. I promise.
Yeah, I think for the biggest thing for me in that is that for a while, you can preach to yourself. You can read the word mm-hmm. and be encouraged. But I know just from personal experience, I'm going to read what I want to read.
That's right.
I'm going to read the parts that I like. Yeah,
the enjoyable
parts. Yeah, the parts that as a pastor, as a teacher, that need to be said from the pulpit that you're not going to just go find on your own.
Right.
You need to be talked, spoken truth into. Like that's part of gathering. You get to hear what sometimes you don't want to hear. Yeah. That is truthful and loving and caring about you and your relationship with God.
Yeah. Well, and keep in mind the father of lies, Satan himself, loves to feed you lies like I can do this on my own. Mm. He loves to have lone sheep. I mean, that's like his favorite thing. If he can separate you from the other sheep, if he can separate you from your brothers and sisters in Christ, if he can isolate you, the devil and his lies thrive in isolation. Because you don't have anybody there to support you, tell you better, lift you up when you're down, encourage you, give you an opportunity to encourage them and find your purpose. You know, how much value is in you seeing and recognizing your own purpose in the body of Christ in the way that you're serving and loving somebody else? Like, there's an unbelievable amount of value in that for your Christian walk. Mm. And when you don't do that, you're missing out on like 50% of what it means to be a believer.
Yeah.
That's pretty significant. Right? Because then it's very, you cannot deny that when you take that away, what it really becomes about is about you.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to work like that.
No. It's good to get out of yourself. That's for
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Man, I'm excited for this series. I think it's a pivotal one. Even if you go to church, like you said.
Right.
It's a great reminder of why we're here.
Yeah. I mean, every one of us gets up tired on a Sunday and thinks, oh, you know, it's a beautiful day outside. I could do lots of things today. I could do anything else, right? Now, you know, I'll be honest, like, I don't have that luxury, right? We don't have that luxury. But I can't tell you that I've never thought it, right? Of course I have, because I'm human.
Yeah.
I don't feel like going to church today.
Or you're on vacation. You're like, man.
This is nice, you know? As for you and me and those of us that serve in the church, you know, it is an extremely rare thing that I wouldn't be in a church on a Sunday. It basically never happens. Even when we're on vacation, we usually go somewhere. Every now and then, we'll have a time where we watch online, just relative to the circumstances. But generally, we go somewhere. It's a good opportunity for me to see other churches and things like that, too. But I totally get it how somebody's in their PJs on a Sunday morning, and it's like, well, you know, it'd just be easier to just stay home. But I just don't believe that the Lord wants us to live in that luxury, right? Yeah. You know, part of being a Christian is taking up your cross, and it's a pretty small cross to bear, right?
It's not much suffering to drive 10 minutes
to church.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with that one. So what you got going on? What are you excited for? What's going on in Nick's life?
Yeah, so we're coming towards the tail end here of our Wednesday night ministry. As you guys know, we'll kick back off in August, but we got two Wednesday nights left. So I'm excited to put a bow on 2 Corinthians, and it's been a good study through 1 and 2 Corinthians. And looking forward to what's next, you know, when we jump in August. I'm looking forward to Galilee Serve. Yeah. It's going to be a great day. Sign-ups are going well, but we could use more help. So if you've not signed up, you know, go to galilee.org and get signed up, because it's going to be an awesome day of making a difference in our community. Mm. How about you?
Yeah, we finished up our series that we've been trucking along for like the last 3 months on some apologetic stuff.
Yeah.
And so for the first time, I'm going through a psalm.
Hey,
man. I started thinking, I said, I've never actually taught through a psalm.
Okay.
So we'll be in Psalm 51 tonight.
Right.
A little two-parter to end this season of Connect Groups. But we're going to try something different with our Connect Group this summer and kind of play around. And that fellowship aspect, we feel, is going to be our focus for our Connect Group this summer. So I'm excited about that. NBA playoffs have been fantastic. I've enjoyed this time of the year.
Sorry your team got bounced, man.
It's okay, man. It's all part of the thing. So now I get to choose who I want to root for in each series, which is really nice. It's not a luxury that I normally have if we do make the playoffs. But I've enjoyed that a ton. And, man, just kind of excited to see what's going on in our church, see all the new families that have been coming and being getting connected and going through DG. Me being able to hear their story, I love that. That's what fuels me and continues to encourage me in the hope that is of Jesus Christ. So I'm excited in seeing that and watching
Absolutely,
that grow.
Man. It's exciting times. We're going to keep leaning in and trusting the Lord for continued blessing.
For sure. Well, we appreciate you listening to this episode of The Breakdown, and we'll see you guys next week.
See you then.